When food hijacks your brain, there are ways to get it back. Today, the use of pharmaceuticals for weight loss is prevalent, one type of which is used to help with addiction. Before the advent of processed foods, food was grown in nature, harvested, and eaten for the purpose of satisfying hunger. However, much of the food we eat today contains artificial ingredients and added sugar that serve to not only provide a sense of fullness, but also induce craving. In 2007, researchers at the University of Bordeaux in France conducted an experiment in which rats were offered their choice of two rewards. One was cocaine and the other was saccharin-sweetened water. Though cocaine is highly addictive, 94% of the mice chose the reward of saccharin, indicating the strength of the addictive potential of intense sweetness. Their choices held even when the dose of cocaine was increased. Our findings clearly demonstrate that intense sweetness can surpass cocaine reward, even in drug-sensitized and addicted individuals, the researchers wrote. A 2013 review analyzed research comparing addictive drugs such as cocaine and foods high in added sugar such as sucrose to assess its validity. The researchers concluded, at the neurobiological level, the neural substrates of sugar and sweet reward appear to be more robust than those of cocaine. The robust way our brains respond to sugar and sweet foods might be why many people find it hard to stop eating them. Two peaks of dopamine. Beyond sugar, food in general provides more than an energy supply. Eating increases dopamine in our brains and makes us happy. The dopamine system in the brain is a critical mediator that controls our eating behavior. In a study published in Cell Metabolism, conducted by researchers at Yale University and the Max Planck Institute for Metabolism Research in Germany, 13 healthy, normal-weight participants received a dietary intervention of a high-fat, high-sugar milkshake or a tasteless solution in a controlled and crossover design. The results showed that food causes our brains to release dopamine twice. Compared to a tasteless version, consuming a milkshake resulted in a significantly higher number of brain areas with a dopamine response. The first occurred immediately after drinking, and the second occurred around 5 to 10 minutes after finishing it. When we eat, as soon as the food enters our mouth, the taste is quickly transmitted via the oral nerves to specific brain areas responsible for taste, eliciting further dopamine response in the brain. Furthermore, brain scans showed that compared to the tasteless control, the milkshake increased dopamine release across the brain regions by approximately 50 to 120%. High fat and high sugar intake activates the dopamine-associated areas. The researchers concluded that fatty, sugary foods not only easily boost the brain's dopamine system, but also change how the brain works. Eating releases opioids. Food intake also releases opioids in our brains. These feel-good chemicals play a significant role in human addictions, mediating palatability-driven eating. In a study published in the Journal of Neuroscience researchers, using a chemical that targets opioid receptors in the brain, scanned 10 healthy men 3 times, after eating a palatable meal, after eating a non-palatable meal, and after fasting overnight. Results showed that eating led to a significant release of these opioids throughout the brain. It is also found that the activation of opioid response within 100 minutes of eating a meal may be related to the risk of regaining weight in obese individuals, according to a study published in the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism. In summary, the brain reward center receives signals from natural opioids and dopamine and then sends messages to the hypothalamus to help control appetite. Diets consisting of highly processed foods with added sugars and fats take longer to make us feel full, leading to potentially eating more food, which can result in weight gain and obesity. A food addiction epidemic. We live in a stressful world where work, economy, family, and health crises challenge our minds and bodies. Suboptimal physical and emotional states drive people to seek pleasure and relief. Accordingly, eating rewarded with increased dopamine and opioids in the brain makes us feel better in the short term, but has long-term detrimental outcomes. Foods high in fat and sugar aren't inherently bad. The issues arise when people lose control and use them as a means of relieving stress, eating them excessively. this repetitive intake can be harmful to our brains, as it may lead to addiction, and our bodies as well. Addiction to highly processed food is one of the issues in our society. That is why anti-addictive drugs may work for obesity. Bupropion is a medication that helps increase the levels of certain brain chemicals, such as norepinephrine and dopamine, which can improve mood and reduce cravings. Naltrexone attaches to specific opioid receptors in the brain. Doing this blocks the effects of natural chemicals, called beta-endorphins, which are related to feelings of pleasure and reward. As a result, it helps reduce the urge to overeat. Beyond these drugs, are there any natural, holistic ways to break these types of addiction? Relieving craving. Over the past few decades, many scientific studies have shown the neurological, mental, and metabolic benefits of two methods, traditional sitting meditation and modern mindfulness training. Sitting meditation involves focusing on the present moment, while mindfulness training means being fully aware of the activities in which a person is engaged. A systematic analysis published in Obesity Reviews summarized 18 publications on the effects of mindfulness-based interventions on body weight. After mindfulness practice, participants were found to have lost an average of 6.8 pounds post-treatment, representing a 3.3% mean loss of initial body weight. During follow-up, they continued to lose an average of 7.5 pounds. Our results showed that MBIs are moderately effective for weight loss, the researchers wrote, and largely effective in reducing obesity-related eating behaviors, they added. Mindfulness meditation has a long tradition of being used to manage cravings, Katie Tapper, a psychology professor, wrote in an article published in Clinical Psychology Review. Meditation has been linked to higher integration of brain networks and so has the potential to normalize the abnormal dopamine release in people with addictive behavior. A European study, published in Cognitive Brain Research, recruited 8 healthy male meditation teachers from Copenhagen who had practiced meditation for 7 to 26 years daily and scanned their brains twice, once while performing meditation and once when not. The results showed a 65% increase in dopamine levels in a brain region called the ventral striatum while they were meditating. The brain electroencephalogram showed a deep relaxation mode, as manifested by the increased theta wave and reduced alpha wave. The ventral striatum is a part of the brain that helps us feel pleasure and motivates us to seek rewards, like food or fun activities. It's often called a pleasure center because it plays a key role in guiding our behavior toward things that make us happy. Increasing dopamine through meditation is a more natural approach that does not carry the adverse consequences associated with anti-obesity drugs used for treating food addiction. In 2013, scientists led by Michael Haggerty at the University of California, Davis, demonstrated that meditation can activate our dopamine reward system in the absence of any drug or pleasurable external stimulus. That's why meditation can help people deal with stress and the withdrawal symptoms of addiction. Mindfulness has been effective in decreasing cravings among drug abusers and hospital patients, reducing substance reuse, potentially treating chronic low back pain and opioid addiction, and helping with easing cravings for alcohol. Reduce stressed eating. A group of German neurologists and neuroradiologists studied 66 people who tended toward overeating when stressed. Some received mindfulness meditation training, while others received normal health training, including informative, health-related video and audio clip excerpts from popular science broadcasting networks. After mindfulness training, subjects reported lower food cravings and significantly reduced stress and emotional eating behavior. However, the subjects in the health training group did not report the same changes. Brain scans of the participants also indicated changes in connections related to areas regulating rewards, emotions, and self-awareness. Meditation also helps with negative emotions. Another study, published in CNS Neuroscience and Therapeutics, researched the effect of an 8-week mindfulness meditation on healthy and depressed people. All 15 participants with depression symptoms experienced a significant reduction in their depression and anxiety scores, reaching a level close to normal. Moreover, participants experienced improved metabolism and decreased uric acid, total cholesterol, and blood glucose. Finding a new balance, a personal note. Since I moved to New York in 2022, I have been immersed in a noisy, busy, and stressful environment. My life became fast-paced and my agenda became busy and full. With various sorts of foods accessible, I found it hard to resist the temptation to use food for stress relief. Luckily, with the help of friends, I gradually developed a new habit of meditating in the morning before daily work. I regained a better balance of those little dopamine molecules in my brain and the noisy stress hormones in my body. Compared to days without meditation, when I meditate, I have better control of my desire for food and manage my eating closer to my past Swiss style. Although I may miss my quiet Swiss life, this new regular meditation habit is restructuring my brain network, empowering me to better handle difficulties and ordeals in life. Most of my friends with strong meditation habits seem to be slim and energetic. Sitting quietly does not mean that our bodies are static. Genes, proteins, and other cell molecules repair our bodies at a microscopic level. As long as we follow traditional wisdom and let our bodies naturally heal, the challenges of our modern society may be easier to overcome. With our lives and values returning to what they once were, perhaps one day, all our food will be real food again.